This week, Philadelphia Judge Lyris Young will stand trial in an ethics probe. She's accused of violating parents' due process rights in family court. That includes not letting people defend themselves, berating attorneys to the point of tears, and punishing a mom who was sick and had to leave the courtroom to vomit. These kinds of accusations have been swirling around Young for a long time, but because she's an elected official, she is still allowed to make decisions that impact people's lives. Why is a judge like this allowed to rule from the bench, even as she herself is accused of violating the law? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. P.J. D'Annunzio is a staff writer for the Legal Intelligencer. He's been looking into this story. So, PJ, when did you first hear about Judge Lyris Young?
She came to my attention while I was looking through a bunch of court rulings. She had been overturned in one of her rulings for basically violating due process rights of parents in a case where the child's custody was concerned. And I thought, you know, that seems pretty serious. But maybe this is a one-off or maybe there's more of them. So I decided to look in a little bit further and I noticed there were more. And I thought to myself, well, that's not terribly telling because this is family court. That's a tough court.
What do you mean by tough?
Well, emotions run high in family court. Nobody's really happy to be there. It usually involves really important issues like a child's custody or welfare, whether they're going to be in foster care. And, you know, because of that tension, because there's a lot of unhappy people, you're going to get a lot of dissatisfaction with rulings, a lot of appeals. But when stacked up against her peers handling those types of cases, I noticed that Judge Young had a far higher amount of active appeals and another higher amount of reversals after appeal.
Tell me about some of those appeals.
There was a woman who was in court basically to determine whether she would keep custody of her child or not, where that child would go to foster care. And she was very upset. She was getting sick over it to the point where she had to leave the courtroom basically to vomit. And after that, she wasn't allowed back in. The judge thought that that was a sign of disrespect and said that this woman's disdain for the court had been noted. And her attorney objected, said, we've got to get her in so she can present her side of the case. But the judge refused because she wasn't allowed to come back in the courtroom. She obviously didn't have an argument on record, and the judge ruled against her, and her parental rights were terminated. Mm-hmm. And that eventually resulted in an appeal in which she was overturned. There's another instance in which a grandmother, and sort of tangentially involved in a case, mm-hmm. where her daughter's child was in the middle of a custody dispute. The daughter didn't show up. Nobody knew where she was. The grandmother was asked where she was, didn't know, honestly didn't know, and the judge found her in contempt and put her in lockup for a period of time.
Oh my goodness.
And that resulted in another appeal, which she was overturned again.
What is it like in her courtroom?
From the people I've spoken to and interviewed, it all points to an atmosphere of ruling through fear. People have said they were afraid to even speak, and when they did, they were immediately shut down, told to be quiet, threatened. And so people didn't feel like they were really getting justice. One reported instance, there was an issue where an attorney was late by, I think, 14 minutes or so. When she got into the courtroom, the judge berated her and yelled at her to the point where she burst into tears in front of the client, in front of everyone. And, you know, that's, at least in my experience, unusual in a courtroom. But that's one of the things she was charged for, I think, in the JCB complaint.
So your story comes out, pointing out this kind of history. Then what happens?
I start getting a flood of calls from people. So, you know, I've had her in the courtroom, too. She's been in charge of my case. And then the next thing you know, there are people on the street protesting. And then they're at the family court building holding up signs saying Judge Young must go. And I think it's because once it came out, people felt more comfortable speaking about it publicly. When they found out that other people had gone through the same thing. One of the cases involved a woman named Miltrita Kress. She had several children put into foster care. She had said that Judge Young didn't give her a fair shake.
So my lawyer did try to object to it, but of course Judge Young does whatever she wants in her courtroom, and you have no fighting chance in her courtroom.
The transcripts from her case show that the judge shut her down when she tried to speak. She told her to be quiet.
I never got to testify at all.
And said it wouldn't end well for her if she kept speaking out of turn.
When I did try to speak up, when I noticed nobody was giving me a say, I did try to talk. I got the word I out. I said I, and she automatically was like, don't you speak. Don't you say another word in my courtroom, because I'll tell you right now, you'll find out real fast this will not end well for you.
After the protests, the court basically reassigned her, removed her from the family court, and put her into civil court, hearing landlord-tenant disputes.
When we come back...
Judges in Pennsylvania are elected officials, and you can't fire an elected official.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Legal Intelligencer staff writer P.J. D'Annunzio about Judge Lyris Young and the ethics violations she's charged with. So tell me about Lyris Young. What's her background? How'd she get elected?
She started out as an assistant city solicitor working for the law department in Philadelphia. She basically represented the Department of Human Services in family court cases, and that was about 10 years. Then she went to work for the hospital union as an administrator. After that, she ran for judicial office and was elected despite a not recommended rating from the Philadelphia Bar Association.
Hmm. Do we know why?
No, the Bar Association doesn't tell you why someone is recommended or not, just specifies whether they're highly recommended, recommended, or not recommended.
Hmm. Have you gotten to talk to her at all? Did you interview her?
I attempted to interview her multiple times unsuccessfully. I sent her letters. I called her. Until eventually I showed up in her chambers one day and tried to interview her face-to-face. She basically said she had no reason to speak to me.
Did you ever, observe her in the courtroom?
The only time I ever saw her in the courtroom was when I wanted to speak to her, and I was basically told to get out.
By her?
Yeah.
So Judge Young is set to stand trial in front of the state disciplinary authority later this week. What exactly is she accused of?
So we have a body in Pennsylvania called the Judicial Conduct Board, which is basically tasked with investigating ethics complaints against judges. And they, imagine all the people who are disappointed with rulings in court. They file a complaint against the judge.
Yeah.
So they're swamped. And what makes it worse is that there's about six of them policing the entire state of 67 counties.
So what were the charges?
Well, there's a 10-count complaint filed by the GCP, and the basic gist of the counts are she had a demeanor that was antithetical to being a judge. She didn't conduct herself with great judicial temperament. That goes to yelling at people, shutting attorneys mm-hmm. down, making people cry, not allowing them to speak, violating due process rights. And then other things she was accused of are creating delays in cases, what they call fast-track cases for kids who are in foster care or whose custody needs to be determined quickly. In one case, she was accused of taking 261 days, it's like 8.5 months, in between hearing a matter and making a ruling.
What do we expect to happen at this trial?
It follows like a normal trial in civil or criminal court. You're going to have witnesses, you're going to have testimony, you're going to have cross-examination and things like that. It's conducted in what's called the Court of Judicial Discipline. Those are the judges who, for lack of a better term, judge other judges. So it'll play out very much like a court case.
What's the worst that could happen to Judge Young?
The absolute worst that could happen is the court recommends that she be removed from the bench. She could be suspended or censured. There's a lot of different things, different punishments that are sought after there.
Even while she was being accused of all this stuff, Judge Young still got to rule on the bench. Why is this a process?
The court system is limited in what it can do when there's allegations of misconduct because judges in Pennsylvania are elected officials and you can't fire an elected official. But it's really up to the Judicial Conduct Board to investigate allegations of misconduct and bring charges. And they're basically the only stopgap you have.
So is this a case against electing judges?
Well, you could argue that it is. The other side of the coin is that the governor appoints a judge to a station, and I don't really know whether that's any better or any worse. But as of now, you know, a lot of people make the argument that because they're elected, because nobody really knows who they're voting for, that it's not an ideal system.
And so it sounds like what you're saying, PJ, is that if there's little recourse, a judge like Judge Young could just keep hanging out in various courtrooms and, you know, have this detrimental impact on people's lives.
That's true. I mean, and it's especially true for family court because they're all closed door proceedings. It's not like when you go to civil court or criminal court, you can have the public or reporters sitting and watching when there's that natural sunlight there. So you can get a situation where if there's a judge, if he or she wants to or is tyrannical or ruling in a way that is antithetical to justice, that's a situation that can fester because it is kept in the dark and things can get to a really bad situation over a long period of time.
Well, PJ, thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That was Legal Intelligencer staff writer PJ D'Annunzio. We attempted to reach Liris Young and her attorney, but they did not respond to our requests. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene Son. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.